राधे
जगद्गुरु कृपालु परिषद प्रेजेंटिंग चेंज योर थॉट्स चेंज योर लाइफ पॉडकास्ट फॉर अ बेटर एग्जिस्टेंस।
Divine souls, of late I have been in discussion with students of Sri Maharaji of the philosophy of the path of Bhakti Yoga. And I want to talk about day-to-day living from the point of view of managing your expectations, of seeding yourself in the foundation of spiritual knowledge and acting accordingly. The other night I spoke about the ripe ego and the unripe ego, or the ripe I and the unripe I. The ripe I is such a personality who has built, or is in the process of building, I should say, a relationship with Radha, Krishna and Guru, and is building the bhav, the devotional sentiment that he is my master, I'm the servant, that he is my divine friend, or that he is my divine child or my divine parent, or that he is my divine beloved, that I, the Atma, the soul, is a infinitesimal part of the Supreme Being, the Paramatma, the Divine One, in this case, the Supreme Form of Love known as Sri Radha Krishna. The unripe I is actually spiritual ignorance, being ignorant of what I have just said, and instead looking to your family, your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your wife, your children, your friends around you, etc., to validate who you are, to have your sense, this is my family, this is my body, this is my achievements, my wealth, etc. This is the unripe I, or spiritual ignorance of the true nature of the self. So let us now assume that you have heard many times, and I know those of you who have joined in this session today, have heard Maharaji himself explaining the nature of a relationship, the nature of the soul, the nature of the world, the nature of the divine, the desire of every breath we have to be joyful and happy, and how that is to be found in the union, the yog, the yuj, the union, the realization of the Supreme Being, Sri Radha Krishna, God. But there is a process. The process being, let us say, the acorn that can eventually become a 60-meter-high oak tree. But in its current form, it is certainly not that. And the acorn, in this analogy, you could say, I acknowledge and understand that the soul resides within me and that the Paramatma, God himself, also resides with the soul at all times, hearing all of the thoughts, always with me, giving me the results of the way I use my mind. So you are aware of the potential of what the acorn can become, or if you like, you are aware of the potential of if the soul, the spiritual power is strengthened and the realization takes place. You're aware, though you haven't yet experienced it, but the potential of realizing your true divine self in relation to Guru and Radha Krishna. So the Guru has taught us this. Then he has said, you have to, if you are wishing for this oak tree to germinate and become its full potential, you have to prepare the soil in which you're going to plant it. No point in just putting it on a brick or a hard rock It can't germinate like that. It needs earth, good quality earth, fertilized earth to grow. And then you've got to say, well, look here. I've got to make sure that it receives the right amount of water. I've got to make sure that the sun can reach it, the sunlight at least, to empower, etc. That means managing the process, carefully understanding the value of the acorn, that is the Atma, understanding what the potential is, and knowing what the environment is necessary to progress. But I mentioned about expectation. Every day when we face this world, we get up in the morning, we prepare ourselves to go about our business, we have a hope and an expectation of what the day will yield. Now, this hope or expectation, it could have been nurtured over months, years, a decade. It could be a fresh expectation that I'm going to go and do this today and the outcome will be like this. This is my hope. So the expectation can cover a wide gamut of activity. Even I'm going to meet a friend in the cafe and we're going to have an enjoyable time. But when you get to the cafe, should the friend say a hurting word to you or reveal something to you or put confusion and doubt by their thinking, your expectation is not like that. You didn't expect that. Or you're in business or you've just got a job, you're going about doing things and something unexpected happens. What happens to you? How do you react? We are challenged on a daily basis to manage our expectations. And what that means is to be aware of your own mind and your own thought processes and the direction in which it's going and the direction in which it should be going in. So Maharaji explains to us about the wheel of birth and death, the wheel of samsara. That means taking rebirth again and again, sometimes in the human form where your intellect and mind is on point and you have the potential to grow. That's the value of the human life. And of course, there are other life forms that you can also migrate into, but we're not talking about the animal kingdom or the bird kingdom or the celestial or the lower regions. No, we're focusing on the human thing. So in this life, Maharaji says, don't think that when you are born into this current life that you've got an open plan on which to build things without any baggage from your past. Not true. When a child takes birth, it comes with sanskars, impressions of the way that the mind has been used in the past, and the way the mind thinks gets consequence. So in this current birth, there is a karma, a destiny called prarabdha, a destiny we have to undergo. And so Sri Maharaji explains this destiny. There are strong points in your life that are definitely coming your way, whether you like it or not. Destiny, fate, consequence to your past that you've forgotten and what initiated it, but it comes. And sometimes it seems unbelievably unfair. You say, "That's not right. I ticked all the boxes. I did all the right things. I followed Murphy's law of how to be a good businessman. I've employed good quality people around me. And yet now I'm facing bankruptcy? This is ridiculous. How did this happen?" Or there's a death in the family or a betrayal or anything at all that can happen. And so Maharaji says there are two ways to react to your destiny, your prarabdha karma in the Sanskrit language, that you brought upon yourself from the way you've utilized your thought processes in previous lives. You can, one, if you're a wise person, you can acknowledge and accept your destiny without it upsetting and rocking your boat. Okay. Gain, loss, profit, loss, health, sickness, success, failure, whatever comes, I will keep my equilibrium, for I know about the ripe ego. I understand that the soul power, the Atma, is a spiritual power, an eternal power, and that this body is impermanent, the relationships I have are impermanent, the possessions I have gained are impermanent. It will all pass away except the soul endures. When it takes a future birth, the way I use my mind will start up fresh karma, fresh destiny, coupled with all of the other destinies I have not yet undergone. So the wise one sees, okay, so this is not going according to my expectation or hope. But just smiles serenely at it. Okay, oh my Krishna, my Radha, my Maharaji, I am paying my karmic consequence. But this is the realm of impermanence. You alone are permanent because you are of the divine nature of the soul, which was never made and will never end. The eternal nature of the soul. Okay. On the other hand, those with the unripe eye, ignorant, spiritual ignorance, you could say, when fate and destiny comes, the mental anguish, the fear, the frustration, the anger, the lack of self-worth, all the range of human emotions, no matter whether it's a positive, yay, I've just won $1 million. You don't know tomorrow where that $1 million is going to go. What, I'll go and buy an airplane, become a pilot, and you take off for your first maiden flight after 6 months of lessons, and here's your U-boot airplane, and you're wealthy beyond measure, and people are going, yes, sir, you're the man. You get in your plane and you fly up. You have an accident and pass away. You drive into the side of a hill or something. It happens. Well, I won $1 million. But it was part of the steps to your demise or to a broken body. How do you know anything? So the unripe eye is subject to buying into all of this impermanence and all of the expectations and all of the hopes that the world owes me. But the soul is a divine power. Maharaji says this birth and death, the Mahapurush, the saint, knows about it. Look here. Death is guaranteed. And so when someone passes away, they're not surprised. They're not wounded internally. They don't go into a funk or a misery or a sadness over the death of one of their students. They just understand it. I remember once, I was in Vrindavan with Sri Maharaji and, of course, a big entourage around him. And a personality from New Zealand went up. He'd just got a phone call which had said that his mother had had a serious stroke. Went to Maharaji to say, Maharaji, this has happened. And Maharaji was on the way from his quarters into the meditation hall. So he didn't break stride. He just simply said to the person who had informed him of this, he just looked at the person and said, these things happen. And he kept walking. But the person who had asked wasn't happy with that response. So when another moment came to be with Maharaji and say, Maharaji, my mother is in serious health issues. I must go home. I have to go home. And Maharaji looked at that person and said, these things happen. But the personality couldn't let it go. I must go. Okay, cello, go. Well, the mother did not pass away. It was some years later. This was many years ago. But the unripe eye subscribes to all of the drama and all of the tension and all of the suffering and all of the agony. I am in control. And what's happening is either fair or unfair or unlucky or lucky. And in this frame of mind, there's only one outcome, binding yourself to the world number one and mental, physical agony because of your expectations. But a devotee, on the other hand, a satsangi, understands, okay, the acorn needs fertile soil, needs water, needs sunlight. And what does that mean? It means the fertile soil for my spiritual power to grow is to remember what Sri Maharaji tells me, how he's explained these circumstances so clearly, and how Bhagawan, God, Krishna, is always in my heart, hears my every thought, and how I'm undergoing consequences according to my self-earned destiny. But I have Maharaji in my side. I have the spiritual knowledge. And so I'm going to put healthy earth and the right amount of water as the guru describes. I'm not going to let the sun burn the seed. I'm just going to regulate that it gets enough light, etc. In other words, I'm going to be on point, diligent, careful about my circumstances every day. Every day. When Sri Maharaji says, to attain your divine realization, your divine love, where you realize and see, actually see Bhagawan God in the form of Radha Krishna standing before you with their divine form, and you are blessed and graced to be able to do that because you now become the saint. Well, then everything is achieved. And the guru knows that. And if the soil's rotten, if there's too much water or hardly any water, or you plant it in the wrong season, lots of things can go wrong. So, listening carefully on a daily basis, daily, the medicine from the spiritual doctor, you hear a talk, be it just a 10-minute grab of Maharaji, or you can play a longer talk, but listen, watch, and learn, and remember. If you don't have a collection of his talks, videos, then you can read what he's provided or what his pracharaks, the Swami Swaminis, teach you on his behalf. Review. And what this will do is it will nurture your ripe eye. Oh, yes. Yes. Because an anxious, angry, self-loathing, whatever the qualities, or even an amorous towards the world, whatever you fill your mind up with the worldly nature, how can Radha Krishna come into that unless you practice? So I'm saying this because I know, being of the human club, I know, just like you know, what we have to go through regularly. And most of us have had the experience where when you start to lose it, you just watch Maharaji's talk and then you say to yourself, why am I being such a dunderhead? Why am I carrying that weight on my shoulders when I don't need to? If my destiny is such that I am employed, unemployed, I am wealthy or poor or healthy or sickly, I've still got my mind, meaning I can turn it towards Radha Krishna because Maharaji on a daily basis is reminding me so. And there is no need to let my ego or my pride, what will others think of me? Oh, I'm a failure. Nobody likes me. Nobody cares about me. And your head goes down. Until you get to see the bald spot on the top. I mean to say, you can, if you want, wallow. And I use the word with respect because I know being a human being is hard. I get it. You get it. We get it. Collectively, we understand, and individually. But Maharaji wants us to stand straight. He said, heart to God, heart to Radha Krishna, heart to Guru, and hands to work. That means you put your faith, you put your trust, you make it the pole star of your life, the reason for living. Unlimited love, joy, and happiness through the realization of the infinitely supreme form of love, Sri Radha Krishna, to make Guru happy. And if you make him happy, you are in his camp. And if you're in his camp, then you are one of the wise ones saying, oh, let my destiny do what it likes. I have my Maharaj, I have my Radha Krishna, I have the understanding he's given, I know what the practice is, and I'm doing it. This is how we've got to live. And we can only do that if we constantly refresh and renew what he teaches, because we have this dreadful nature, especially in this Iron Age, the Kali Yuga, of forgetting. Or the complacency or carelessness that, look, today I won't worry about it, I'll do it tomorrow. I've got other things more important to do, but I'll get back to it tomorrow, I'll get back to it next week, I'll get back to it next month. Boom, boom, boom. And Maharaji is being so strong on our behalf. He doesn't want us to prolong suffering, this unripe eye. He doesn't want us to have mental lethargy or hiccups or worries or fears. He wants us to get on board so that we leave that behind and we build our spiritual power and our awareness and our remembrance. This is what he wants. So expectation, even where you say, well, I thought they should have done this, they could have shown their gratitude. I thought they could have, they should have, they must have. Why didn't they? These people are not behaving properly. And yourself, what about you? You see, the only expectation you should have is that Sri Krishna is hearing you. And that he is Patita Pavan. That's his title, the uplifter of the fallen. I know I'm stuck in the quagmire of Maya. My mind is troubled by the gunas, the sattvic, the rajas, the tamas. I know it. And I know I've got an infinitely high mountain of past deeds that I can never atone for. Even if I'm having good outcome, there's always a darker outcome to follow, and then maybe a good one again. Up and down, and always suffering. So the guru says, haven't you had enough of this? Or do you want to keep suffering? Like you want to continually hurt yourself? Haven't you had enough? Yes, I have, Maharaji. Then listen. Be positive. Positive. Walk with your shoulders up in the world. Smile. Maharaji has said smile all the time. Smile. I had to tell a rocket scientist to keep smiling. He'd lost his job at NASA. And he was beating himself up so much that the thought of getting another job and doing something less than what he was capable of, so he remained unemployed. But that created this and this. Smile, I said. I don't know how to go for it. I said, okay. I said, look, you come to me and we will rehearse interviews. Because he's such a smart, intelligent guy. He's the nutty professor who couldn't communicate. So I said, I'll help you. You sit there and I'm going to play all these different types of personalities when you go for a job interview, which of course I would have enjoyed. I would have been a big jolly fellow. I would have been a lean, mean fellow. I would have been a thoughtful fellow. And I would have given him the gambit of experience. So he said, yes. Do you know, the day I was due to go, the night before 9 p.m. of the night before I had to leave the country to come back to Australasia, he knocks on my door and he says, this rocket scientist, he says, can we do those interviews now? And I had given him this opportunity about 8 days ago. Can we do it now? I said, nope. Good night. But I had said to him earlier, smile, smile, smile. You've got to bring positive energy. You've got to dance. I have Maharaji in my court. I have everything that I need. I know about the Atma. I know about the divine nature. I know about this world. And yes, I don't have a job, but, you know, I could even go and serve tables and serve coffee. If you were positive, you would realize actions are actions. It's the attitude and the thought behind your actions that is what gets consequence. And I'm talking spiritual consequence, the ripe eye or the unripe eye, where you just immerse yourself into common worldly thinking. So you've got to learn, all of us, we've got to learn smile. Sometimes people say to me, what are you smiling at? So much to smile about. Well, you can't justify or explain your smile all the time. Private Bart, as Maharaji would say. So, stop expectation. Stop beating yourself up. Know that you have to undergo destiny. Even the Mahapurush, before they leave their physical body, have to undergo their destiny, but they do it with a smile, and the ignorants do it with tears and fear and regret. You have to pick yourself up. You have to look after your mind. And if you say, but I keep trying, but it's still, I keep failing. Well, you're still an acorn, fair enough. And when the acorn's in the earth and just a little sapling comes up, well, then the snails can squash it. What to speak of an elephant walking by? It's tender. When you become the oak tree, you will not be under threat again. So you have to do your work. And the first thing is positivity, to look at your life as an opportunity to realize finally your true divine nature and be free of all this nonsense. So, heart to God, heart to Bhagavan, heart to Radha Krishna, the same, and hands to work. That means whatever you're doing, whether you are just working in a cafe as a barista or serving coffee, or you're a rocket scientist, or anywhere in between, whatever you're doing, heart to Bhagavan Radha Krishna. I'm doing it for them. That's why I exist. And my hands, I'll do my duty. I'll do my work. So what if people snipe and snide and laugh and, oh, you're too tall. Oh, you're too short. Oh, you're too fat. Oh, you're too skinny. Oh, you're too poor. Oh, you got too much money. Oh. Where are you going to be free of people looking askance at you? And if they're all smiling at you, be on your guard, because Maharaji says when people are trying to please you, they want something from you. They want to manipulate you so that they can be happy. Oh, one has to see it clearly. Get the optics of your eyes working. I just need Maharaji's intelligence. Why? What do I need mine for? Your intelligence, your part is to say, yes, Maharaji, yes, I will think favorably of you. I will not allow fear and anxiety and jealousy and anxiety. I won't allow these things near me because I'm your child. I belong to you. Wow. That's enough. But do think about it, because every day these challenges are not going away until we start smiling with the right understanding. Hands to work, heart to Radha Krishna and Guru. All right. Please close your eyes and see Maharaji before you. Oh, there he is. He's always been there. Place a garland around his neck, pranam to his lotus feet, and look at him in the eyes and say, thank you.
Thank you for joining Jagatguru Kripalu Parishad podcast.